Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
It's not every day that your wildest dreams come true. But today, this shining day, the one thing that Raven has wanted his entire life is coming to fruition. And I think it's sad.
I mean, you've got me on the edge of my seat.
The last pennies will be minted early next year.
Yes!
It's the death and the end of the penny.
Listen, it's a financial windfall for all of us here in America. Thank you very much. Here's the next thing. Let's get rid of everything but maybe quarters.
Oh, come on.
I would. I'd get rid of change altogether if it was up to me. Just round it up.
So the U.S. Treasury just announced that after a lot of debate, early next year, that's going to be the end of the penny.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't realize, which kind of makes a lot of sense, is that it costs more than one penny to make a penny.
Right.
So why did it take so long to do this?
And I don't think it's the only coin that's the case nowadays. I know that they changed the materials on silver coins long ago, so that actually made that more price effective. But again, who is working with change nowadays? We're barely even carrying cash at this point.
Every penny costs almost 4 cents to manufacture, so it's supposed to save an estimated $56 million a year.
Only in government spending would that expense have made sense before, right? There's nobody else that would do that. If you were minting pennies for your own business, you'd be out of business.
It costs 14 cents to make a nickel, and
look at that. I mean, again, that's even worse, the math on that. This math ain't mathin'.
Yeah. It just seems so weird. Like whenever we go somewhere and my daughter says, oh, I want to throw a coin into the fountain or whatever there is. Mm-hmm. I want to make a wish. Do you have a coin? Or if you have a quarter, because sometimes they still have those mechanical things, you know, where you can put a quarter in and a sticker will come out or whatever.
Or you could gaze through those long distance binocular setups.
Those big silver things. Like they have to still have those around the country.
Yeah, I mean, they have them some places. I mean, the wishing well, you're just going to have to come with something else. Like, you know, throw your watch in there.
I can throw my iPhone in. There you go. Make a wish, honey. Make a wish.
Welcome to the American Music Awards. Live from Fountain Blue, Las Vegas.
That is Jennifer Lopez. Last night, she was the host for the American Music Awards. That was on a 2-year hiatus. It came back. And if you missed it, don't worry. So did pretty much every other major artist that was supposed to be there that didn't show up.
Wait a minute. 2-year hiatus. Jennifer Lopez was at the American Music Awards?
American Music Awards.
Wow, that's funny because, again, didn't even realize.
Well, I forgot that it's like the fan-voted awards.
Yeah.
And I wonder, you know, they always say this one means the most because it's voted by the fans. But do you think they mean that?
I mean, I think that's a thing that you say whenever you go pick up an award, right? I don't know.
Yeah. So Taylor Swift wasn't there. Beyonce wasn't there. Eminem wasn't there. Billie Eilish, she took home the most awards of the night. 7. She wasn't there.
Nobody was there.
She did one of those videos where, like, they play it.
Oh, and then thank you so much for voting. I really appreciate it.
I'm here on my world tour.
Yeah,
I can't be there. I wish I was there.
Yeah.
It's not fair because that means that they know ahead of time that they won because they had to make the video.
Right.
So they should text all the other people and be like, you don't need to go either. You're not going to win. They already called me so I can make a video.
I mean, I think that's part of this game, right? Like, I think a lot of times they do know, especially when they've skipped a few, right? Like they'd tell them, they'll be like, listen, can you show up this time? Because you're really going to win this time. I think they did that with Eminem and the Grammys, like, because he used to skip all the time.
I don't know, because sometimes when they announce the winner and they pan to all the other people to get their reactions, they look genuinely sad.
Well,
if you knew you had time to fix your face.
I mean, maybe they don't tell the other ones. Maybe they tell everybody, record 2 videos. One where you say that you won and you're happy and the other one where you're sad.
No.
No.
Definitely not. I know. Jennifer Lopez hosted, and honestly, she was the highlight of it. She did an unbelievable opening number. She kissed a lot of her backup dancers.
I saw that. That's so weird. Like, kissed all of them.
It was
Take that, Ben Affleck. I'm kissing everybody.
It was a lot of old school. Janet Jackson, she got an award, and she performed. Remember, I saw her live in a concert last summer, and it was not impressive. This was mildly impressive. It's like she's been practicing a little bit.
She just renewed her residency in Vegas, and J-Lo announced one. So I saw that right after.
I'll go see J-Lo any day. That woman is 55. The way she moves is incredible.
I'm just going to say this, though. It's a little bit weird to me. You're 55. You're kissing everybody on stage.
Let her do what she wants.
I mean, even if she was 30, like, it's just weird, the kissing people at the award show.
And they love to do that.
I don't know why.
Remember when Britney Spears kissed Madonna?
And even then, I remember watching it at that moment. I was like, all right. And then she leans over and kisses the other one. And I'm like, this is a lot.
Anyway, for the people that were there, the people that did perform, you know, everyone's been talking about Benson Boone. Benson Boone is he's the new Harry Styles, everybody says.
He's a great singer, man.
But he does that backflip. Mm-hmm. Now, he's been in our studio, too. Also did a backflip.
Yeah.
That's his signature move. Every time you see Benson Boone perform, you know that he's going to do a backflip.
Well, enjoy it now, because that won't last forever.
But
at some point, that's going to fall out.
At what time is he like, guys, I can't.
Blow out the knee.
I can't do this backflip.
It'll be over.
Anymore.
Yeah.
And when you have like a signature thing, like Raven and I were talking about this, Sia with the hair,
mm-hmm.
Kiss with the makeup, Gaga with all the outfits. At some
point.
The meat
dress.
Right. Well, you know, she always had a shock with what she wore. She wore something outrageous.
She's still doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. But at some point, when your signature thing is a backflip.
Yeah.
When does that end?
You got to get robots or something on the side of the stage. You're going to have to get backup dancers that do backflips, because at some point that is going to be over. I'm guessing like 36.
You know, Kiss at one point was like, why did we start doing this? This is so dumb. Now we have to wear this makeup time we get on stage for the rest of our lives.
Right.
Yeah. At some point that's going to happen to Benson Boone. He's going to be like, this was a mistake.
Right. So, yeah. Bad call.
Fait dire à une vidéo beaucoup de bêtises. Sur ces trois vidéos, j'ai ramassé un Kleenex, serré la main à quelqu'un et juste plaisanté avec mon épouse comme on le fait assez souvent.
I don't know French at all.
Who is that talking?
That was French President Emmanuel Macron.
Oh.
Yeah, and he's
Macron. That guy.
Yeah. And if I can translate for that, he said, a video can be made to say a lot of nonsense. In these videos, I picked up a tissue, shook someone's hand, and just joked around with my wife, as we often do. He has been in a spotlight the last few days because he's been getting a whole lot of trouble for what he says is propaganda and things getting blown out of proportion. But I saw his wife grab his face, and that was not joking with my wife. That was, my wife is really mad at me.
Listen, that was a face mush, all right? And your marriage has got some problems. If that's the way that you guys physically entertain with each other.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Like, you're in a bad spot there, so don't act like you weren't. All right?
So, if you missed this, I fell into the vortex so deep last night. So, the French president, Emmanuel Macron, there is a video of him.
Where were they flying into?
Vietnam. Vietnam.
So, right. So they're going to visit Vietnam.
Yes.
They're getting off the plane. The door opens up. There's the band there and all that stuff. Yay, welcome, French president.
And all you see is his wife's hand reach across his face. And she grabs his face the way you would grab
shoves it.
Like a child's face when they're in trouble. And she grabs it. But he wasn't like smiling, giggling.
No.
He was like horrified. And then he turns around and he realizes the door is open and the whole world can see him. They're there with the cameras.
And then he's like, oh, let me sing and dance.
And
for
he
you.
Smiles and he waves. And he just acts like nothing happened just now. Like, we didn't just see his wife grab his face like that.
I want you to just keep one thing in mind. If this had been anybody on the planet besides his wife, his security would have immediately knocked them on their butt and dragged them away.
Now here's,
so just keep that in mind.
What I learned last night that I don't know if everybody knows this, but his wife.
Yeah.
Okay. They met in 1993. She was 39 years old and a teacher.
She was his teacher. One of his teachers.
She had three children at that point. She was married with three children. 39 years old, and she met Emmanuel, the now president. He was 15 years old at the time, which I should say, in his defense, is the legal age of consent in France.
Great.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it still doesn't make it any less weird.
No, it is strange.
I mean, whatever, just because that's, you know, legal age, that doesn't make anything less weird.
Then whatever happened, and then she had to go through a divorce that took 10 years with her husband when her husband found out that they were having an affair. And then they finally got divorced, her from her husband, in 2006. She married him in 2007.
I mean, the French are really different, right? Because imagine this scandal and you were running for president in the United States. That would not play out
well. It was completely normal. normal.
I'm out.
Right, that did, over there, I was like, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
They were like, it's fine.
And he was 29 years old when he ended up marrying her. And he said that the kids were supportive and he thanked them for coming to the wedding.
Well, whatever. I mean, she slapped him in the face, Anna. Let's get to what really matters. Well, all right? She slapped him in the face.
I was doing like, okay, so let's think. So she's 24 years older than him. And they asked her one time, like, what's the difference, like, in the age? And she said, the only difference is now when we have our morning coffee, I'm wrinkly and old, and he's young and youthful.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, yeah, no kidding. But do you think that that was just playful, or do you think that that was, like, they're in trouble?
100%. 100% there's a problem. I'm going to go one step further here, right? Is, like, he's not getting reelected.
You don't think so?
Nope. I see that right there, and I think to myself, unstable. That's exactly what I'm thinking is instability, all right?
He's 47 years old. Mm-hmm. He is the youngest president that France has ever had.
Well, I'm glad it was a nice ride, because it's over now.
Do you think Enjoy it's because of ride. Her? It's like, well, he has an adult that's in charge.
No.
You don't
think so? No. I can't pretend to know what anybody else is thinking, but I think that obviously he did some things of merit before he got there and ran for president. But at this point, I mean, it looks like there's problems, right? And so I'm not voting for that guy moving ahead. I'm like, he's got his own things to work out. He's busy, basically.
If you want to do the math.
Yeah.
She's 71,
mm-hmm.
and he's 47 and president.
Okay.
I don't know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, no, neither do I.
But this is how I fell into the vortex last night.
Well, she's got a good hook for 71. That's what I would say.
I mean, she's beautiful. She is beautiful. But here's the thing I got to figure out. What does he do next? Because now there's no way that people watch this video and don't think, like, your wife is not happy with
you. He's doing all he can do right now by just denying. But, again, I think his political future is kind of at an end.
I guess we'll see. Listen to this.
Kelly Danko, Sophia Cicero, Emily Acosta.
Notice anything interesting about this college graduation when they're announcing the names of the graduates?
They have the voice of an angel.
Sabrina Alley, Jeremy Brosnan.
It's AI.
Wow, it sounds just like an award show, like the Grammys or
Hayden
something.
Hayden Tops.
Oh, they
Caitlin
brought it.
Egan.
They brought
Sierra James.
They even brought in like the second voice.
I was going to say, right. So they went back and forth. So it was almost like a newscast. Are you upset because it sounds good? Because it does sound pretty good.
This has been consumed in my life lately, and I've been very torn about it. And I'm really curious what other people feel about this, too.
Yeah.
Because this is at Pace University. They had AI read the graduates' names. I'm a graduate of Pace University. That's
it's
where
amazing.
I went for.
It's, what a coincidence. Oh, yay.
So fun. So, you know, I went to Pace University for my undergrad. And, you know, we had humans back then read the graduation names. And how it worked was that students were required to submit their names with phonetic spellings online. And then the system generated audio clips for them to review and verify that it was pronounced correctly.
So they got to review it.
Yep. Okay. And then during the ceremony, you would scan a QR code that was on their phone before they would go up. And it would pronounce your name correctly. That would trigger AI to announce their name.
I mean, that's a little bit weird. I don't understand why they have that next step. I mean, basically, just read the names and people walk, right? That's what I would think.
Well, it doesn't read, Raven, because you have to go in order of how, you know, it would scan the QR code and then it would pronounce the name as you walk by.
Again, feels like an extra step. I mean, just put a recording out there. I mean, you know what order people are going to be in. But
as always, here's the thing. To me, this is okay because, you know, people mispronounce names.
Screw it up all the time and they have accents and stuff like that. And it's
sure.
Just, yeah. Okay.
But lately, I have been getting a lot of AI information from people I pay and people I trust and people that are part of my life. And they'll respond to me in emails. And I guess they don't think I know it's AI responses, but it is. And it's bothering me. Because, like, your insurance agent, you pay them to be your insurance agent.
Right.
So when they're copying and pasting, when you ask them a question, something from ChatGPT, it's annoying.
Yeah.
When teachers are writing you back and they're using, and I'm not saying this is at my school, but it is in other schools that I've seen, that and you, it's clearly ChatGPT response to your questions in an email, I find that awkward. To me, it's like it's going a little bit too far. Our boss, one of our bosses, we were talking about like a segment that we wanted to do and they responded and
It was all the bullet points with the highlight.
Yeah.
It was ChatGPT. And I wanted to say, you're our boss. It's your job.
He's not our direct boss. He's not our direct boss. And I won't take that into account. Listen, you know what? You have to decide who you pay and who you don't. All right. And you have to do that based on what work it is that they're doing on a daily basis. As far as reading names, that's a nothing. That's a blip on the screen. But I mean, get used to it. People are either using this as a tool or they're not. And I think that at this point, what's happening right now is a lot more normal people are using it as a tool. If you're using it as the basis of how you're operating a business and doing all your stuff, again, then your clients really have to decide whether or not they're going to pay you for that.
But that's what I feel like. Because I wanted to say to some of these people, mm-hmm. like an insurance agent.
Sure.
I could also use ChatGPT. I know how to use it. I mean, don't need you to copy and paste. I want your professional opinion as a human who has lived life.
Yeah.
That's what we're paying you for.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
I don't really cut a check to my insurance agent. I mean, I have somebody that I call for insurance and they give me prices and I just choose based on that. But I mean, it's up to you who you pay.
I don't know.
All.
I think it's too far, too fast. And I think before you copy and paste from ChatGPT, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Well,
because
I'm going to say this.
People are going to judge you.
If you're going to wreck my name at graduation, I'd much rather have the robot do it. I will say that.
Yeah, it's okay there. Do you think you have the toughest job in America? Here we go. There's a list. They voted, and a lot of people said that the number one toughest job in America, and I think it would be hard to dispute this, is to be a firefighter. That's a tough job.
Yeah, it's a tough job.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. I mean, you're running in. Everybody else is running out. It's very dangerous. People die all the time. Fighting fires and in fires, so you've got that emotional response too. Really, really tough. Yeah.
Doesn't always mean that your life is in peril, though, when you have a tough job. Let's look at the top five.
Okay.
Number five, police officer.
All right,
I'll
right
give
there.
You that.
Life
yeah.
is in peril.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
Number four, doctor.
Okay.
Life not in peril.
Not in peril, but incredibly stressful. I mean, when people are relying on you to take care of their loved ones and it doesn't always work out, it's not a TV show, right? So, you know, there's going to be a lot of disappointing cases.
Number three, military. Nobody will dispute that.
Yep. Life is in peril.
Yeah. And number two is construction worker. I don't know if that's the toughest job. I mean, I guess it depends on what kind of construction you're working on. If you're on a side of a building, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I worked construction before. It's a long, long days. It's rough hours and it's dangerous. And yeah, I mean, it can definitely be a tough job. And the environment is one of your biggest enemies.
Yeah. What do you think is a tough job? A job that you have that's super tough? 1-800-330-9999. Mary, what do you do?
I'm a barista at Starbucks, so okay. I have to deal with people.
What's the most annoying thing that people order? Like when they do the ghost menu?
Yes, but it's not because it's the ghost menu. It's because they feel like they come off with this air of like, oh, I'm so clever. I know the menu like better than you who work here. And it's like just an arrogance that it like really gets under my skin. I hate it so much, especially because I work next to like a very big business plaza and there's a college nearby. So we get some of the most like entitled people. It's just so irritating.
It's one of the most annoying things ever when you can encounter somebody at your job who believes that they're an expert at your job,
mm-hmm.
right? It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what their experience is. You both think that you're both idiots. Like you do. You do. And that whole interaction is caused by the fact that they come up to you and they go, well, this is how we do it. Or you should be doing this. You're right. I get that.
It's a high pressure job to be a barista because one, people are very finicky about how they want their coffee and you have to move so quickly.
Well, they're in a hurry.
Right. Especially at Starbucks. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Sean, hardest job in America. What do you do?
Well, I'm in early childhood, so I hang out with two-year-olds all day.
But it's got to be fun sometimes, right?
Sometimes.
Well, it's fun, but, you know, the hardest year that a kid has in his life, and that's just my everyday forever. you know, you think that, like, one or two kids at home is hard. Try 22-year-olds in a single room.
I think the fact that they can't reason yet and they don't know how to manage their big feelings, that makes it very, very difficult. As adults, we try to rationalize.
Sure.
And you can't rationalize with a young child.
You want to negotiate or make sense or explain. You really can't because they haven't grasped that concept yet.
Or even like when they get a little older.
It's all right now. It's
yes.
not tomorrow. It's mm-hmm. none of those things. Right? And they got everything going on right there. They're growing. They got teeth. You know, all those different yeah. things they're dealing with at that moment. Right?
Like, I listen, my grandson had 17 months yesterday, and he's got four molars coming in.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. Like, every day there's something going on with him. It's
tough. How about when Dakota went through that period in preschool where she just kept biting people because she insisted she was a dinosaur? It didn't matter how many times I told her she was not a dinosaur.
Right. Or told her that we don't bite people.
Right.
Right.
But she would explain to me that she was a dinosaur, and that's what dinosaurs
do. How's that going, though? She's not biting anymore.
She's not biting anymore. We've grown out of that. I don't understand what happened here. And
wow. Mm-hmm.
You might be right.
Yeah.
Lawyer's number 18 on the list of toughest jobs in America.
You can set a lot of your own hours. You can do that stuff. It's like being a specialist. You can decide how much you take on.
I think it depends on the kind of lawyer you are,
well,
too.
Well, right, but you can make that decision, right? Like, if you're a public defender, it's going to be a lot different than if you're a private defense attorney.
Yeah. All right, top three toughest jobs in America. Number three is military.
Okay.
Number two is construction worker.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is firefighter. But what's your tough job? 1-800-330-9999. Rose.
I would say. I'm a school bus driver.
That's a tough job.
It is, because you don't only have one job of driving, which you have to deal with the crazies on the road.
Right.
But you have the little crazies inside with you sometimes, you know, not always, but sometimes it's kind of tough to manage the road and the kids are, you know, doing stuff and behind you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, 100%. I can't even believe it's not on the top 20 list, because I always think it takes a lot to be a bus driver.
Well,
and
you know what?
All those kids.
It's funny you said that, because people are, she's just a bus. When they say she's just a bus, that gets me crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not,
listen,
you don't even know. You haven't even been in that bus with me. You don't even know what it's like.
Get in the trenches, right. Yeah. I mean, public transportation is tough by itself, but the kids, you know, really, really tough. Yeah, we were brutal on my bus.
Right.
We were brutal.
Not if I would have had you, Raven.
I like your...
Have a good day.
I like your moxie. Hey, Mike, quickly tell us, you got one of the hardest jobs in America. What is it?
Yes, it's being a garbage man. We're up when the world is sleeping. We do things that are unexpected. Things can go wrong. Garbage man, for sure.
You know what? I mean, I got to be honest.
Raven wants to be a garbage man so bad. He thinks it's the most glorious job.
Yeah, my perception here is a little bit different. I feel like you got that big mechanical arm on the side. That's a lot of fun to operate.
Yeah.
You know, you pick that thing up. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you got...
I'll tell you something. In this case, we do not have the mechanical arm.
Then you got to quit. It. You got to go work for somebody else.
That's right.
You got to go work at another company where you get the mechanical arm.
You're right. You're
thanks,
right.
Mike.
Good luck today.
Lily, how about you? What's your job and you think it's the hardest in America?
I'm an administrative assistant, and it's like everything is just insane for me. I have to basically run the lives of everyone in the entire building, prioritize everybody's schedules at once, decode cryptic emails, like I'm the CIA. And sometimes, you know, I just have to keep everything running smoothly. It's insane, and trying to keep up with everybody's itineraries, and they expect me to do it like on the dime. Like right then. So
I will tell you, it takes a certain kind of person to do that work. You have to be so extremely organized and attention to detail. And a good friend of mine has been an admin for as long as I can remember, the 15, 16 years we've been friends. And when you're juggling that many corporate people's schedules and their flights and where they're going and where they're staying, it's a lot of work. And if something goes wrong, they're not usually nice about it.
Everybody thinks that you basically are serving as their personal assistant.
All the way through. And they're always last minute at that. It's never, you know, oh, hey, you have a week to do this or you have a few days. It's literally like that same day I'm supposed to like figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
they
need
expect
this.
Me to.
Right.
So somehow I make it, you know, I make it work and I get it done. But I don't know what they do without me.
Well, they won't. That's the point. It's the same way in every office where there's a great admin in there is that they won't.
There are certain things that responsible adults do. One of those things, whether you like it or not, is make a will, right?
Yeah, actually, as a matter of fact, I was just talking about this with my kids the other day.
Right. You know, you want to figure out who's going to get your favorite jewelry and your house and...
Who's going to watch your kids?
Take care of my debt. But anyway, yeah. there's other things that are important when it comes to... figuring out the end for you.
Okay, getting rid of my evidence.
Yeah.
My past transgressions.
Well,
I... Picking up that box I've got buried in the backyard.
No, but There's a job that I don't think we talk about enough, and I have to ask my best friend to do it because I don't know who else would be responsible enough to take on a job like this. Danielle, you there? I have to ask you a really important question.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay. So, you know how, like, eventually we're all going to die, right?
It's inevitable.
Yes, it's true. Okay.
All right, so lately I've been thinking about it because, you know, like, when you see the person in the coffin, sometimes you think this should have been a closed casket.
It's rough.
Well, you know, like, right. Sometimes you see them and you're like, all of a sudden I've been panicking lately that it's going to be too much for my husband and my parents and whoever's left. So I said, like, there should be somebody designated that you trust immensely to make the decision, am I too gross to have an open casket?
Yeah, here's the thing, Dan. It's like, you know, I mean, basically, you know, her husband's not going to be able to dress her or make sure the makeup's right or whatever. He doesn't know your tones or anything like that. Or she would never do her hair like that. None of those things.
Raven, Paul is not the one that puts the makeup on. Danielle's not going to put the makeup on my dead face.
I'm just saying that he can't say yay or nay. He's not going to, you know what I mean? He's not going to know. He's going to be like, sure, is that normally how it goes?
I just want you to make sure, Dan, I want to designate you as the person to make sure I look normal before the presentation at the wake. And if for any reason you think that it is not up to par and you have to use your judgment, and I know that you will be fair because that's what we do for each other. We're fair. That you say, close this right now, get a 12 by 24 picture of her and post it right next to it.
Yeah, you'll void the openness.
Oh, my God.
You know how, like, they post the picture sometimes next to the closed coffin and they're, like, smiling and looking beautiful from when they were alive?
Right.
You have to make that decision on what it's going to be.
Get her glamour shots.
Oh. Yes. Right. I use my headshot from when I was 20
years old.
I can't
even believe you.
Right.
All right. So will
you? Do you accept?
First of all, I can't even believe you're thinking about this. This is why you're calling me.
Yes.
But I will do this for you.
Thank you. I knew you.
I will do this for you because I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it. Who wants to go out on a bad note?
Yeah. Right.
That's your last moment.
Yes.
On that note.
And I, as your best friend, I can do that for you.
Thank you.
On that note, Danny, I think that you should also consider the fact that possibly the two of you randomly drive off the side of a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow both end up there. All right. So let's make sure that, you know, you should start thinking about this for your own estate planning, okay?
Well, according to my husband, Paul, and her husband, Charlie, we do share a brain. So
there you go. Anything's possible.
That's true.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And if you want me to be your dead person consultant, too, I'm happy to do it.
Again, that could zero itself out.
I'm going to pick you up on that.
All right. Love you.
Love you.
Over the next 3 days, the best and youngest spellers in the English language will once again convene and outspell each other to win the title of Scripps National Spelling Bee Champion.
All right.
Also celebrating its 100th anniversary this year.
Okay, well, congratulations, Scripps. That means that when you win this year, you actually get a gold medal and a Lamborghini.
I don't know if that's true.
Probably not.
They're like 13.
Yeah.
Yeah. 243 spellers will compete. But here on the Anna and Raven Show, only one speller will compete. Producer Julie.
Only one that matters.
Yep.
Woo!
I don't know how this is going to go.
But... Come on.
All right. So Producer Julie just graduated college last year. She was at top of her class. Very smart. How confident are you in your spelling abilities?
I'd say 55%. 65.
That's a fake number.
Okay. All right.
It's a coin flip. Okay.
So over the next few days, Producer Julie will get words.
Mm-hmm.
And she has to spell them correctly. If she does not, then she is at the mercy of the office squad. We have instructed the office squad that for every question she gets wrong, every word she misspells, she will have to do a favor for one of them.
Wow.
Ooh. All right.
All right. Now, here's how I chosen the words.
Some of these people are despicable people, by the way. Despicable people in our office squad. Who knows what they could ask you to do.
Well, IT could be like, set me up in the control room.
anything could happen.
So I purchased Webster's Dictionary for Students. So these words are relatively easy.
Okay.
And I ripped out random pages, as you can see, from the dictionary. I put them on my six-year-old daughter's Dakota's vision board, where she posts her love songs that she writes and pictures of princesses.
Mm-hmm.
I asked my 16-year-old daughter to take darts and to throw it at the board. And those are how we selected the words.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. And you can watch all of this on our Instagram at Anna and Raven. We'll post the video. So here's the first thing I did not expect.
Oh, gosh.
First thing she does, puts a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
Her, her
doesn't
dart
stick to anything you
no,
want it to go
no,
to. Right.
I didn't think about the fact that when she missed the dartboard and it just went into the wall, I was going to have to explain to my husband that we were doing this bit and that he was going to have to patch up little tiny holes in our daughter's wall.
Yeah, darts is a skill. Mm-hmm. It's not just something that you randomly walk up and you're great at.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Okay, let's go see.
Pillow, a bag filled with soft or springy material used as a cushion, usually for the head of a person lying down.
Spell pillow.
That's an easy one.
Easy. P-I-L-L-O-W.
Yeah!
Yeah! Woo!
Yeah! You get to keep that diploma.
One down. Here's the next word for today, okay? You're nervous?
She's shaking. Yeah. Okay, here we go.
It's pimply. Read what it says, pimply.
It's from pimple, a small red swelling of the skin, often containing pus.
Pimply.
You almost spelled it yourself. You almost forgot the game. I heard you. You were about to spell it.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, it sounded like you were. I heard it.
All right, pimply. Spell pimply. Mm-hmm. No, you cannot write it down. Do you think these kids get to write it down?
Pimply?
I don't know. Do they?
No.
They don't?
Pimply. P-I-M-P-L-E.
No, I'm sorry.
L-E?
It's
L-Y. Pimple.
Pimply. Oh,
that's pimple. Come
on. Oh, my gosh.
You weren't listening.
That's one favor for the office squad. We're going to keep tally, and we'll see how you do by the end of the week. Oh, I'll keep my fingers crossed for you. I thought that was an easy one.
Not looking good.
No.
Yeah.
It was one of the busiest travel weekends ever.
Mm.
Ever this past Memorial Day weekend. I think people are still traveling, getting home today.
I feel like they say that every time now, though. Like, when a new movie comes out, they're like, it made more money than ever. Well, everything's more expensive. There's more people now, Anna. That's all.
But the rules of the road, it's so funny because, you know, especially when it comes to traffic and hitting the road during the holidays, when a lot of road trips coming up with the summer here.
Yeah.
I've been eavesdropping on my 16-year-old daughter. She's taking driving lessons online, like the Zoom lessons as part of her driving school. So I listen to the instructors sometimes.
Well, there's winning techniques and losing techniques too, right? So what are they telling her?
So they were talking about the zipper method, which if you've ever sat in traffic, you probably know what it is and didn't know it had a name. And it's how you merge when there's construction or something where one lane is blocked.
Yeah.
Now, we had a police officer come on our show years ago and say the proper way to do it is you go all the way to the last possible second where it's closed and you zipper, which is exactly what the guy was saying on the Zoom, where you go in at the last moment. But I've been reading online that people think it's rude and it's unfair when they merge last minute like
that. Yeah. So, I mean, this is one of the biggest things that causes tension. So right now, it's the time of year where they're doing construction on my route home every single day. And there are three different parts of it. And it makes zero sense when you see the truck that says, up ahead, this lane will be closing for everybody to get over right at that moment. Because guess what? Then that line doesn't move at all. And inevitably, people will race ahead. Like you said, go all the way to the end till when it actually happens. And then one car goes and then the other car goes.
But according,
and then one car goes and the other car
goes. But it causes confusion and frustration.
Because the other people are dumb.
That's all
there is to it is you got to know the technique.
My favorite is when they don't let you in. Like, all right, well, I'll just sit here.
Right, you're not going to let me in. So what are you winning? You got one car ahead of me, yet you're still stuck in traffic.
So there are some rules of the road, though, that you completely ignore. And I think this is probably one of them. But what's the rule that you definitely don't pay attention to? 1-800-330-9999. Rita?
I mean, look, I don't like completely ignore, but like I do have a habit of kind of like not seeing yield signs, which is terrible. I don't think this is a good thing to say, but like I never see them. And I'm just like, oh, there was a yield sign. Oops.
So, I mean, wait a minute. So the yield sign, what do you do when you get to it? You either stop or you go for the gas. Which one?
I usually just keep going. And But I'm aware of other cars. So if I saw another car, I wouldn't. But it's like the sign itself doesn't really like, it doesn't bring me much pause.
I mean, it doesn't sound like you really would deviate from your plan of merging if you saw another car. But I mean, listen, I'd rather have you going than hitting the brakes. I promise you that.
I do feel like the triangle blends in with the trees in the background sometimes.
It's red and white. There is no tree that's red and white.
I thought the yield was yellow. See, I don't even know. Maybe I don't see it either.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Are you getting it confused with a hazard sign?
Nope.
Hold on.
Nope.
Yield
definitely
sign.
Not.
Yield.
But you should also pay attention to hazard signs, too. Let me put that out there for you.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, I probably don't see them either. You're right. You're so...
Red and white. It's That eyesight level, you know, even maybe a little bit above. Wow, it's right there.
I'm with Rita on this.
That's a terrible choice.
Stopping for pedestrians? Mm. I don't think we should be saying that out loud. You can't do that. What are the rules of the road that you don't pay attention to? This past weekend for Memorial Day, it was the busiest travel weekend ever for travelers.
You know what? We have a college in my town, so there's a million crosswalks, and there's a lot of people that aren't paying attention and quite a few others that do a better job. But as a driver, I see people just blow through these things all day and night. One thing that I'm doing lately that I used to do a lot as a teenager, but then I stopped, is I'm rolling through stop signs.
Oh my gosh, it's number one on the list of things of rules of the road that people ignore.
I pull up, I slow down, but I'm not coming to a complete stop for 3 seconds. That's not happening often enough.
No, you have to do so. My daughter is going through driving school right now, so I'm hyper vigilant on all these things.
Yeah.
And when we come to a stop sign, we say STOP, stop. And then we drive. Yeah.
That's not a bad technique. I'll try it today on the way home. I'm not going to do it.
I know you're not.
I mean, it's got to be the wildlife caution signs. In my mind, if a deer is going to hit me, they're not going to be thoughtful enough to only do it where there's a sign.
That's true. I get it. My first thought when I see the wildlife sign is, wow, I've been speeding this whole way.
Now you're gonna
I could have been killed at any time, at any moment.
I always feel like it's false advertising because when I see the sign, I want to immediately see the animal as if I'm in some kind of zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And I start looking around and I'm looking. I'm like, there's no moose here.
I'll tell you right now.
Nope, not a single one.
The trippiest thing for me is when you're in the middle of nowhere, like when you're in the desert or whatever, and then they have the signs and they show like a family crossing because those are real signs.
Oh, that's sad.
It's real. And you should look out for them too.
Robin, what road rules do you ignore?
Sometimes in some states you can't turn right on red. In my heart, I feel like you can turn right on red in any state.
Wow.
Yeah. That was one that I used to take as a suggestion, but wow. Not anymore. Now I'm very like, if I see the sign or I know that that's that city or state's rule, I pretty much obey it because I was like, something had to happen here for them to implement that.
The way I look at it is there's a cop in the bushes right now, right at this moment, or a camera right above me that I can't see. Mm-hmm. It is the easiest ticket for somebody to write. So I don't do that one. Steve, but I get what you're saying.
Steve, what's the road rule you ignore?
I just based on my driving record for the past few years, I'd have to say speed limits. Kind of rough on those. If I get onto an open stretch of road and there doesn't seem to be anyone around and I've got a good song on the radio, my foot gains weight. I don't know what it is.
There are very seldom days that I'm driving the speed limit, but every once in a while I'll have one of those days. And it's funny because my wife will look at me and be like, what are you doing? And every other day she's telling me to slow down.
You know, my daughter's going through driving school right now. And one of the things that the teachers told them is that once you teach yourself to drive fast, mm-hmm. you can't unteach yourself.
Right.
And it's so true because it becomes your norm. Mm-hmm. And then you're driving 25 miles per hour in a 25, it feels like you're not even moving.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it drives you insane.
And it drives everybody behind you insane too.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Stopping for pedestrians? Mm. I don't think we should be saying that out loud. You can't do that. What are the rules of the road that you don't pay attention to? This past weekend for Memorial Day, it was the busiest travel weekend ever for travelers.
You know what? We have a college in my town, so there's a million crosswalks, and there's a lot of people that aren't paying attention and quite a few others that do a better job. But as a driver, I see people just blow through these things all day and night. One thing that I'm doing lately that I used to do a lot as a teenager, but then I stopped, is I'm rolling through stop signs.
Oh my gosh, it's number one on the list of things of rules of the road that people ignore.
I pull up, I slow down, but I'm not coming to a complete stop for 3 seconds. That's not happening often enough.
No, you have to do so. My daughter is going through driving school right now, so I'm hyper vigilant on all these things.
Yeah.
And when we come to a stop sign, we say STOP, stop. And then we drive. Yeah.
That's not a bad technique. I'll try it today on the way home. I'm not going to do it.
I know you're not. 1-800-330-9999. What's the rule of the road that you completely ignore?
I mean, it's got to be the wildlife caution signs. In my mind, if a deer is going to hit me, they're not going to be thoughtful enough to only do it where there's a sign.
That's true. I get it. My first thought when I see the wildlife sign is, wow, I've been speeding this whole way.
Now
I could have been killed at any time, at any moment.
I always feel like it's false advertising because when I see the sign, I want to immediately see the animal as if I'm in some kind of zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And I start looking around and I'm looking. I'm like, there's no moose here.
I'll tell you right now.
Nope. Not a single one.
The trippiest thing for me is when you're in the middle of nowhere, like when you're in the desert or whatever, and then they have the signs and they show like a family crossing because those are real signs.
Oh, that's sad.
It's real. And you should look out for them too.
Robin, what road rules do you ignore?
Sometimes in some states you can't turn right on red. In my heart, I feel like you can turn right on red in any state.
Wow.
Yeah. That was one that I used to take as a suggestion, but wow. Not anymore. Now I'm very like, if I see the sign or I know that that's that city or state's rule, I pretty much obey it because I was like, something had to happen here for them to implement that.
The way I look at it is there's a cop in the bushes right now, right at this moment, or a camera right above me that I can't see.
Mm-hmm.
It is the easiest ticket for somebody to write. So I don't do that one.
Steve,
but I get what you're saying.
Steve, what's the road rule you ignore?
Just based on my driving record for the past few years, I'd have to say speed limits. Kind of rough on those. If I get onto an open stretch of road and there doesn't seem to be anyone around and I've got a good song on the radio, my foot gains weight. I don't know what it is.
There are very seldom days that I'm driving the speed limit, but every once in a while I'll have one of those days. And it's funny because my wife will look at me and be like, what are you doing? And every other day she's telling me to slow down.
You know, my daughter's going through driving school right now. And one of the things that the teachers told them is that once you teach yourself to drive fast,
mm-hmm.
you can't unteach yourself.
Right.
And it's so true because it becomes your norm.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you actually drive, yeah, you're driving 25 miles per hour in a 25. It feels like you're not even moving.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it drives you insane.
And it drives everybody behind you insane, too.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
Create so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Go and take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by 5-Hour Energy. Did you know 5-Hour Energy can be ordered online? You can easily build your own custom 12 or 24 pack. Check it out today, 5hourenergy.com. Joining us, it's Ford and Bridget. Bridget, let's start with you. What's going on?
Hi, thank you so much for having us. We came on because we have a dog. We got together when we started dating. We both really, really love our dog. We also eventually will move in together, but we're kind of in this in-between moment right now. And the dog goes home with Ford every night. And I'm just kind of hoping that maybe there's an opportunity for the dog to stay with me for a night. We're here to kind of talk that through.
So you guys don't live together? That's the obvious question. You're not married.
Yeah, we don't live together. We're not married. We're dating.
Okay.
But we're committed and we're looking forward to getting like moving in together in the future. But with leases, like we're not able to do it right now.
Okay.
So just, I mean, for clarity's sake, are you talking about like an overnight or are you talking like, you know, 3 days of the week he's going to go to your house? What are we talking about here?
I think it might be nice if maybe a few nights a week the dog's at my house and then a few nights at Ford's house.
It's
like
a
custody exchange. Of just
right.
share it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it would be good because then our pup will be able to stay at my place and feel comfortable here as well and not have as much anxiety when I'm not around.
Hmm.
But it's a different structure all the time. What's your side of this, Ford?
Yeah, I agree with Bridget that it would be great if our dog's name is Doc or Dr. Pupper is the full name. But it would be great if Doc could stay with him some, with her some. But I really feel that he needs more structure. I mean, he's only about 2 years old. He's still sort of a puppy, and so he does a little damage, which Bridget, you know, I don't think would be as happy with at her place as, you know, much as it happens over at mine. It's sort of a better deal. I think he needs a little bit more routine. I have a dog door that's at my place where she doesn't. So, I mean, it's a little more difficult for him. He's got to wait for her to take him out. I mean, it just, my place is set up for Doc, and her place isn't, and I just think that it's going to be easier. We've only got a few months, like, what, 7-8 months left on your lease, hon?
Yeah, 8.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be pretty soon. He's not even going to be 3, and she'll be living with me and him, and I think we just need to wait a little bit.
Listen, structure is important, obviously, for animals when you're training them. And when they're puppies, you know, a lot of that stuff could be fine. On the other hand, Bridget, if you're prepared for that damage or training him in both spots, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. Is the dog confused from going to two locations? Plenty of dogs go, you know, they're at home with their owners, and then they might go to work with their owners, too. And that's a different scenario, and they do fine there. Sometimes an older dog that works better for, too. I don't know, you know. Do you think it's detrimental for your dog to be going to two different locations like that? Or do you think it's something they can become totally comfortable with? I'm not really sure.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court. It's a good problem to have for a puppy. Everybody just loves you so very much. They want to spend all their time with you.
Yeah, at the same time, if a dog or a puppy, it really doesn't have structure and they misbehave, then that's not good either, right? Mm-hmm. It's not good for anybody.
Ford and Bridget have a dog they adopted together, but they don't live together. They've only been dating. She has 8 months left on her lease. Then they will live together after that. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, she just thinks it would be nice if she could have their dog a couple days a week at her place.
Yeah,
Ford's not on board.
Right. He just thinks that, listen, the structure's here. The doggy door is here. He's got his bed here, all his things here, and he still kind of tears things up. You're not going to be happy if you lose some of your security deposit over this.
Jason.
I'm on his side. The puppy, he said he's got the doggy door for him. Mm-hmm. He can go out and come as he wants, you know, and he's still a puppy. He's still tearing things up in the house. I think it's a better idea for him to just stay the big guy, and then when they move in together, they're good.
Besides, who's he going to snuggle with when she's not there? All right?
Both of them.
Yeah, exactly.
If you adopt a pet with your significant other, but you're not married yet and you don't live together yet, how do you share the custody? Couples Court, sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with the licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/AnnaAndRaven.
It's a problem for Ford and Bridget. They've got a dog that they adopted together about 2 years ago, and they've been dating that entire time. They're getting ready to move in together before the end of the year, but that's still like 8 months out at this point before Bridget's lease is going to be up. And she says, I think it would be great. I'll take the dog home 3 or 4 times a week myself. Then he gets to spend time with me, get used to this place, too. It'll be so much fun. Before said, that's not a good idea for the dog.
Right. He thinks the dog needs stability, the single place to stay, and he thinks his place is better for that.
Right.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on Ward's side. I think, you know, they're not married. They're not living together. This dog should be owned by one or the other of them, and it sounds like it's really his dog.
Yeah, one of the biggest things that they advise people is to be careful, right, when you're not married technically and you get a pet together. It's one of the biggest things that professionals have always told us.
Right.
Because it develops these power struggles. This is my puppy.
Mm-hmm. Deborah, whose side are you on?
I'm on the boyfriend side. I realize it's an animal. I just wanted to compare it to a person, a human child. It shouldn't be flip-flopped like that. Just let him stay in one place. He's been there. He's comfortable. And for the other 8 months, she said, let Doc stay with the boyfriend and let him be comfortable. 8 months is fast. It'll go by quickly.
Hey, Sue, what do you say? Whose side are you on today?
I'm on his side. And because, you know, the poor puppy dog, whatever he is getting used to him. And it's like a child. Take a kid from someone, and it's just not nice.
Right, right. Even if the dog is a doctor, Dr. Puppers.
Mm-hmm. Right. He is cute.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Ford, our audience agreed with you. The dog is comfortable where he is. When you move in together, then Bridget, it'll be something different. But as long as you could hold out a while longer and keep him comfortable, because I mean, he's got to be the one that is the happiest, right?
Yeah, and he absolutely, I think, is happy. And he loves it when he sees Bridget and when she's over, you know, or when I bring him over there to her. So, yeah, I really think that it's best just for him to keep the routine and structure. And I'm glad the verdict came down for it.
Bridget, you're going to be okay with that? You just got to wait a little bit while longer.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed, but I understand. I understand what everyone's saying and how it makes more sense for Doc to just be in one home. So I'll tie my heartstrings. It's only 8 months.
All right. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $300 thanks to NHTSA. A driver who isn't wearing their seatbelt may get a ticket. A driver who isn't wearing their seatbelt during a crash may not make it home. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA. Ron, you ready to play today?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
All right, here we go. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, scram.
You got it. Good luck, man. $300. Here we go.
He said scram. All right, here we go. Ron, that door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play, Ron?
Yes, I am.
Number one, Jennifer Lopez hosted the American Music Awards last night and did a great job. Before acting, she was a backup dancer for what famous singer that received the Icon Award last night?
The famous singer, Madonna.
Number two, Britney Spears got an official warning after she lit a cigarette on a plane. She apologized, but said it was kind of much that the flight attendant reported her. Britney Spears is from Kentwood in what state?
She's in Texas.
Number three, Lilo and Stitch had the biggest Memorial Day opening weekend ever, beating what Tom Cruise film?
Take the Money and Run.
Number four, speaking of Lilo and Stitch, Stitch is also known as Experiment what number?
7.
And number five, Demi Lovato married her longtime boyfriend, singer-songwriter Jordan Lutz on Sunday. She starred alongside the Jonas Brothers in what Disney movie?
Aladdin.
Good. Good job.
Yeah.
All right. That was impressive. Ron didn't get a single one right.
Excellent work, Ron. Let's see how I do. $300. Here we go.
Here, Ron, here's the good news. You're going to be able to compete in Zero to Hero Week. When we get 5 contestants that don't get a single one right, you have a chance to come back for redemption and to show the world that you actually know something. Okay?
All right.
Number one, Jennifer Lopez hosted the American Music Awards last night, did a great job. Before acting, she was a backup dancer for what famous singer that received the Icon Award?
Was that Janet Jackson?
Yeah.
Yep.
Number two, Britney Spears got an official warning after she lit a cigarette on a plane. She apologized, but said it was kind of much that the flight attendant reported her. Britney Spears is from Kentwood in what state?
She lives in California, right? Is she from Tennessee?
No, she's from Louisiana.
Yeah, oops.
Number three, Lilo and Stitch had the biggest Memorial Day opening weekend ever, beating what Tom Cruise film?
Final Reckoning, Mission Impossible.
Yes. Number four, speaking of Lilo and Stitch, Stitch is also known as Experiment what number?
Is it number 10?
No, 626.
Okay.
And number five, Demi Lovato married her longtime boyfriend, singer-songwriter Jordan Lutz on Sunday. She starred alongside the Jonas Brothers in what Disney movie that started her career?
Is it Camp Rock?
It is Camp Rock. I shouldn't say started her career. She was on Barney. She did other Disney stuff, too.
Yeah, I mean, she's a big deal. And
right.
I hope she's happy.
I hope so, too. Ron, he beat you 3-0 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
It's Ron, and I cannot beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $400 tomorrow, Anna.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.